morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a service of the Virtual Church of Little Saigon on the road in Scompton, Utah. And I am your good friend Dan, offering my services as a disciple to you, as we, as disciples of Christ, should do for each other. We should wash each other's feet. We should help each other in Bible study. We should minister to each other. We don't need a Bible college. We don't need a Vatican. We should try to serve each other. And in dark times, if they tell you the church is shut down, remember what the Lord said. I think Matthew 18:20. If two or more of you are gathered in my name, that's a church. There is your church. You don't need anything other than that. It is Sunday, May the 28th, 2023. The first reading is from Jeremiah 33. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is His name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you a great and unsearchable things you do not know. For this is what the Lord said, the God of Israel says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians. They will be filled with the dead bodies of people I will slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from this city because of all of its wickedness. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and I will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of all good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without people or animals. Yet in towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, Give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, His love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without people or animals in all its towns, there will be again be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills of the Negev, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. For this is what the Lord says. David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of Israel, nor will the Levitical priests ever fail to have a man to stand before me continually to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and present sacrifices. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that the day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites, who are the priests ministering before me, can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David my servant, and the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars in the sky and as measureless as the sand on the seashore. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Have you not noticed that these people are saying, the Lord has rejected the two kingdoms he chose? So they despise my people and no longer regard them as a nation. This is what the Lord says. If I have not made my covenant with day and night and established the laws of heaven and earth, then I will reject the descendants of Jacob and David, my servant, and will not choose one of his sons to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next reading is from Proverbs. Proverbs 28:9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next reading is from Matthew 7:7-12. Ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord in heaven, in our daily lives, we often forget that you are always here, always near. It is hard for us often to escape the ritual, the Sunday Mass, the worship, the various commitments we have to the churches we attend. And in our actions, these forms of remembrance become empty and disconnected. But did you not, Jesus, in the garden, humble yourself to pray? Did you not, dear Lord, on the cross, pray for the forgiveness of those who do not know what they do? If Jesus, the Son of God, could humble himself to pray with heart and vigor and passion, if he is the Son of God, then can we not humble ourselves to pray with passion to our Lord in heaven, asking for his help on our part and for those sinners who need him now? Jesus, we pray to you this day for the wisdom to know the words. We pray for the compassion to send our love to you, Christ, on the part of those who we love. We remember the stranger, the orphan, the widow, and we remember them in prayer. We pray for guidance and grace so that we can forgive others as we ourselves are forgiven. In your name we serve, Jesus Christ. Amen. The next reading is from Mark 11, 22 through 26. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next reading is from Luke, Luke 22, 39 through 46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall. Get up and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I have thought a lot about prayer in recent years. Fun fact about your friend Dan on his journey. Not only is forgiveness the most important thing he needs to be able to do, but often fails at, and I do, I fail at forgiveness. I fail at being able to let go. I work on it. I pray on it. I try to find a way to it. But what I keep circling back to is that in order for me to get there, there's stuff I need to understand. And in a lot of cases, I don't. I just don't. So that is one of those things. But another thing about your friend Dan is that for the first few years of having my faith, I had a hard time praying. And I had a real hard time praying for myself. Like I could pray for others, and I could pray for my family and my friends. And I do believe that prayer works, but I couldn't really pray for myself. I didn't think I deserved it. I didn't think I deserved to have the help of the Lord, whose love is infinite, who, no matter how many mistakes we make, will continue to listen. It's true, your friend Dan is a sinner. It's also probably true that many of you are sinners. We make mistakes. We sin. We shouldn't, and we should endeavor to be better, but the reality is we do this. And I believe Proverbs 28 points to something really kind of important there. It's not enough to pray. Jesus says this too. It's not enough to pray. If you come before the Lord and you cannot forgive your brother or forgive your sister, then do those prayers get heard? Well, maybe they get heard, but do they get answered? And probably not. In order to pray, we have to be filled with a sense of forgiveness. We have to be able to forgive ourselves, and we have to forgive those who have done wrong to us. It's absolutely essential. I think the Lord finds detestable the hypocrite that comes to pray and prays for all the goodies of the world and at the same time holds in their heart some pain, some anguish, some action that was done to them, some slight, and is unwilling or unable to let it go. You have to be able to let it go. You know? And forgiveness is also not about the other person when it comes to the issue of prayer. You can forgive people that you might never see again. You can forgive people that you might never know again. You don't have to go up to them and see them, you know, face to face and say, I forgive you. In fact, in some ways, that might have the opposite effect of forgiveness in the long term, but it might not help and it might make things worse. You can forgive without the person being in the room because the forgiveness isn't really about them. It's about all that hate you carry around. It's about all that anger that you carry around. That's what forgiveness is. So if we're thinking about prayer and the power of prayer, we have to understand the power of forgiveness. It is powerful. It is strong. It is a way to heal the world, but you have to be committed to it. It can't just be words. And as I've said to you many times, brothers and sisters, my ability to forgive is my greatest weakness before God. It is my greatest sin. I have a hard time letting things go. I work on it. I try. I look around the world today and I see people who seem to behave in ways that are beyond comprehension. And so prayer, one way in which it's powerful, is to pray for peace, peace of the heart, peace of the soul, peace, a place for you to sojourn in peace. That is a thing to pray for, and I believe the Lord grants it. You can pray that the Lord touches your heart. You can pray that the Lord helps you to calm. And so that anger and that hate can go away. Prayer can help to forgive. But you have to be willing. You have to be ready. It has to be something you're ready to do. For the first few years I found my faith, I also believed I was unwilling. Not unwilling, maybe that's the wrong word. I was, what's a better word? I was undeserving. I was undeserving of forgiveness. I knew I couldn't forgive. I was undeserving of help because I felt I was a wretched sinner. I spent so many years convincing myself and convincing other people that there was no God, that how could the Lord be there for me? How could the Lord be willing to be there for me? And I didn't really fully understand my faith yet. It's part of the faith journey. You understand some things at first, and then you stumble. For a lot of us, it's a cycle. We understand a few things, we make mistakes, we learn more, we make more mistakes. And by the time you end your life, you know, when you die, hopefully, naturally, hopefully surrounded by people that love you, but by the time you reach the end of your life, you'd like to think, well, your soul is perfected, but probably, even at the end of your life, you're carrying some sins, you're carrying some grievances. And the best advice I can give to you is the advice I give to myself. If you want the Lord to hear your prayer, you have to be willing to practice the things that you're asking help for. You have to be willing to follow the path. You have to live the kingdom life to some extent. Not perfectly, but in your heart, you have to be able to forgive. That's, I think, where a lot of the power of prayer comes from. When the Lord says something like, if you think in your heart that the Lord could move a mountain and make it, you know, basically move it into the sea, if in your heart you believe and know it's true that the Lord could pick up that mountain and toss it into the sea, then it will be so. And I don't think people should go around praying with any level of sincerity that mountains be tossed into the sea. But the point is that there's nothing the Lord cannot do. Nothing. If we are willing to approach the Lord on the Lord's terms, if we're willing to forgive, if we're willing to live the kingdom life, if We are willing to listen to the words of Jeremiah and look around whatever city we're in and ask ourselves, are we doing righteousness? Are we doing the things we're supposed to be doing? If we're willing to ask those questions and try to be better people, then I think our prayers are more powerful. But if we go around committing sins and doing wrong to our neighbors and holding grievances and filling our hearts with hate, and then we go ahead and pray, I think the Lord hears you and the Lord listens, but I don't think it's likely any help is coming. On the other hand, if we started living the kingdom life as a people, not necessarily everybody, but enough people, I think mountains would be moved. I think a lot of healing could occur. If we move one step closer to Jesus, I believe Jesus will move 1,000 miles closer to us, or further, or as far as it takes. All we have to do is be willing to move the mountain in our heart that keeps us from being able to live that kingdom life, that keeps us in a state of sin. We have to be willing to move that mountain. And to say that that is easy, it's not. It's not easy. If it were easy, I would not still be troubled. If it were easy, I would still not feel those pains of hatred I have felt, especially since 2020, towards a lot of people. Towards a lot of people. People I know and people I don't know. And I might believe, and I might even be right, that that hatred comes from a place of righteousness, but it doesn't matter. I'm not God. It is not my place to punish, and it is not my place to hate. It is not my place to be wrathful. The Lord has all the work that the Lord needs to do in carrying out the justice of the universe. You don't have to do anything, neither do I. We have to keep the faith. We got to live the kingdom life. We need to be there for our brothers and sisters, especially if they say there's no church. There's no church today, Dan. They canceled church because of some virus. They didn't cancel the Walmart. They didn't cancel the Costco. They didn't cancel the sale at Nordstrom's. They didn't cancel the Starbucks or the McDonald's, but they did cancel church. Well, you could stew in your juices and be filled with anger. I was. In 2020 and 2021, I was filled with anger over all the hypocrisy, over all the double dealing, over all the sin. I was filled with anger. Or you can take that anger and toss it out the window. You can find a place of forgiveness. You can get together with one or more of your friends in Jesus and maybe even pull a stranger in. You can read the Bible. You can pray. You can have church anywhere you want it. And anywhere you're praying with two or more, with one other person, one or more people, anywhere you're praying, that is church at that moment. That is the church of God. That is the congregation of Jesus. If you want to know where it is wherever two or more people are gathered in his name, in prayer, in worship, in respect. Prayer is powerful. Prayer can heal. Prayer can take away the pain of decades, of centuries. But you have to believe it. Can prayer move mountains? Sure it can. But you have to believe it. You have to have the faith in Christ that Christ would move a mountain for you. Christ would. Christ would move a mountain. Christ would part the seas. The Lord in heaven is good and gracious and kind and generous. The Lord in heaven would give us everything we need, the bounty of the world, but we have to live the life and we have to ask for it in respect. And the way that you do that is prayer. If you're asking me, does prayer have the power to help people out in times of trouble? The answer is simply yes. If you ask me, does prayer have the power to heal? It absolutely does. If you need money to pay rent, I'm not talking about cash for a BMW or a brand new boat. But if you need money to pay rent, do I believe prayer will help with that? Yes, I do. And yeah, if the Lord thinks you need a brand new boat, who knows? I mean, the great news about the good news is I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm not Christ. So I can't tell you what the Lord in heaven will grant or not grant. That's not my business. But I can tell you that the Lord can move mountains for you if you ask for it, if you need it. It can happen. But we pray, we worship the Lord, we access the power of prayer through respect. Respect for the Word of God, through grace. And we do all these things if we can and demonstrate that we forgive. That we follow the only law of the prophets, that is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And in that kind of respectful moment where you can supplicate yourself before God, and you can turn your hands up or fold them, you can stand still for a moment, maybe in an open field, you can close your eyes or leave them open, but if in respect and love you can say, Lord, look out for my family and friends, look out for my family in Washington State, okay? Look out for them and their children. Look out for my family and friends in Indianapolis and Alabama and Florida. Look out for my family and friends spread out all over this place. You know who they are. You know their names. I don't need to list them for you. Look out for them. For you are the King of Justice. You are the King of Love. If they need help out there today, Lord in heaven, look out for them. Help them. Give them what they need. And maybe even some of the things they want. But it is your choice, not mine. Lord in heaven, I endeavor to forgive. Forgive me of my sins, for I am a sinner. Lord, I endeavor to get rid of the hate. Forgive me for my hate, for I have felt hate in my heart, more hate than I ever thought possible. Lord in heaven, forgive the people of the world for the things they do. For in many times, in many places, in many ways, many of these people do not know what they do. They do it out of ignorance. They do it out of compulsion. They do it out of fear. Bring the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, into their lives. Bring the power of the Holy Spirit into their world. Reveal the Word to them wherever they are on planet Earth, dear Lord. For in your name, Jesus Christ, we serve. Amen. I'd like to take a moment of silence, if that's okay. A moment of prayer. A moment to tap into that power. A moment for us to let the hate go and bring the love in. To forgive ourselves and to forgive others. And to ask for the Lord's forgiveness, a moment of silence to remember those who are in trouble, for those who live in fear, for those who don't have enough food or water or shelter, to remember those who are beat down and terrified, that the strength of the Lord and his angel should stand up for them. Let's take a moment of silence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Prayer doesn't have to be a ritual. Yes, the Lord's Prayer is in the New Testament, so it's a good prayer to memorize. It's a good prayer to have available as spiritual, I guess, spiritual resources that you can tap into. But the best kind of prayer is respectful to the Lord, is remembering of his name and his history. The best kind of prayer is sincere, and it comes from words that come from you, They're not words generated by anyone. And I would even add the best kind of prayer is prayer that's done, not in front of a crowd, not on a podcast, but it's prayer that's done solemnly between yourself and God, or between yourself and your friends in Christ and God. And there is no video, there is no recording. It is absolutely unique, and the moment will never happen again. That, in my view, is often the best kind of prayer. So let's go out this week and do something that may be easy for you and may be hard for you. I can't speak to the point you're at, where you're at on your journey with Christ. I can't speak to that. I can only speak to myself. But let's go out this week and let's utilize prayer to forgive, to heal, to find peace, and to help others. Let's utilize prayer so that we can bring the light of the Holy Spirit further into the world, so we can spread the word of Christ, so that we can be respectful of the Lord in heaven for giving us so much, even when we take it for granted, for giving us so much, even when we ignore our obligations. Let's go out and pray. Let's go out and demonstrate to the world, I think, the power, the peaceful and gentle power of our Christian faith. Have a great week.